This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. First off, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on the emergency rural health care grant funding.
The president set aside in the American Rescue Plan $500 million to create this emergency rural health care grant program. The program is divided sort of into two pots of money. $350 million of that $500 million is going to be used to help rural hospitals and local communities increase access earlier to vaccines and testing and medical supplies, to expand telehealth opportunities as well. And these resources can also be used for the construction and renovation of rural health care facilities. $125 million is going to be provided in grants to plan and implement models that will help us figure out how best to create a long-term viable healthcare system in rural places, and to create and strengthen networks that will allow rural providers to collectively address the challenges they face from a healthcare perspective.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, let's just jump in right now. You know, we're expecting more weather as producers really trying to get cranked up for planting. We've seen some delays already in the Midwest, snow over the weekend in Chicago, drought in the Central Plains. You know, is that factoring in that recent run-up in grain and oil seeds?
I would say that weather is definitely one of the inputs that is helping to drive those markets higher, the grain and oil seeds, that is. On top of the obvious one, which is how things are going to shake out in terms of Ukraine and Russia, we also already knew the fact that things weren't looking ideal down in South America. And now you add the fact that things aren't looking very good here in the United States in terms of the weather. And if you take a quick look at the drought monitor, if you take a look at the U.S. drought monitor, vast swaths of the Western United States. I'm not just talking west of the Mississippi. I'm talking, take a column of states that are bordering on the Mississippi on their east side. Look at the west side of those states. So you're talking about Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, right? So to the west of their western borders, you're basically looking at some shade of orange or some shade of red into the brown. And basically that indicates anywhere from moderate drought to exceptional drought. And if you were to pull out the main areas where the exceptional drought is, it's Texas. That's a big chunk of it. Also the far western part of Oklahoma. And then we'd be looking up towards Oregon, up in that neck of the woods. So that is where the real harsh spots are, but there's plenty of others. So basically, big drought situation, and we need some kind of alleviation, and it just doesn't seem like it's coming around. So even on the part where I live, which is the eastern half of the United States, you know, I'm here in Illinois, just outside of Chicago by a number of miles, and I woke up this morning and saw snow. So that won't stick. It won't stick, but still, it's just one of those things where it seems like there's a delay. And weather's kind of pushing things to be a friendly element in terms of prices. Right now, there's a push towards more of a colder 11 to 15 day forecast that's helping to rally these things. And then breaking it down a little bit, you get the hard red winter areas. They're expanding, to my point earlier about where we're seeing some of those parched areas. And then also, in terms of the hard red spring, there's more rain and snow headed into that hard red spring belt later this week. So all those things together, you know, to your question, are definitely providing some kind of additional bullish support on top of what we already know in terms of what's going on in Ukraine and down in South America for their production numbers. To that point, though, there are some things that are happening out there, so that are good for the market in addition to the weather at the moment. For the first quarter of 2022, China's imports were up 5.5% for corn, about 4.5-ish for wheat, and they were up around just shy of 40%, I think like the high 30s for sorghum compared to the same time last year. So business to China, not just United States, is up, and hopefully that will translate into some business, more business for us. And then also, in terms of wheat prices, generally speaking, even though there's plenty of things involved in terms of trying to stifle the ability for Russia to raise funds. Basically, wheat export prices did raise in Russia last week. They are continuing to export some of its commodity, even with the Western sanctions. So, you know, business is happening anyway. Prior to their invasion of Ukraine, we would be watching Russian prices for wheat anyway to kind of gauge a feel for what the international appetite is. And yet again, their prices are a little bit higher. I don't know if it's going to be sustainable. We'll see how things move. Obviously, there's a big variable with those sanctions. But for right now, as an input, that's also bullish. So that is primarily what's helping to drive the markets right now. If you dive down a little bit in particular for wheat, especially, the things I mentioned so far were bullish, but cumulative sales so far here in the United States have reached just over 90% of the USDA forecast for this 21-22 marketing year. 5-year average is 95%. Also, Commitment of Traders report showing that the managed money category sold almost 5,500 contracts. They're still long, but they're on a bit of a selling push to them at the moment. And those two things combined with the cumulative sales number and then the managed money, you know, selling, that could be construed as bearish. So we'll see how this plays out over the next couple of weeks or so. In terms of corn, generally friendly. Obviously, we got the situation in Ukraine. Also, pretty good moves in the crude oil market. That would be anecdotal for what could happen in the ethanol industry. And export sales are good, contrary to what I just mentioned in wheat here. Cumulative sales for corn has been almost 88% of the USDA's forecast. 5-year average is 84. So we're outpacing the 5-year average. And opposite of what I just said about wheat, also managed money traders are buying corn in the latest Commitment of Traders report. So you've got that sector that's helping to propel prices higher. And then for soybeans, real quick here, macro type of look, the high level crush demand is good. You've got corn and wheat prices that are pushing higher. So it's catching a bit of that. Also, you got the strength in crude oil in terms of supporting the soybean oil market, which is good. Crush was excellent. NOPA members crushed in the latest report just shy of 182 million bushels. That was up 10% from the February crush and up about 2% from March of 2021. So big number there, showing a good appetite for moving the product along in terms of crush. And obviously, that should translate into demand for soybeans. Soy oil stocks fell, though, with them registering just above 1.9 billion pounds. So soy oil stocks down, crush up. That's generally friendly environment or friendly setup for some kind of bullish input into the market. Export sales, too, cumulatively so far reached about 98.5% of the USDA's forecast. 5-year average is about 94%. So similar to the corn, up around 4% relative to the 5-year average. So that looks good too. We have the report today in terms of the planting progress, and the trade today is looking for U.S. corn planting at 5-7%. 3% is the average. 7% was last year. Soy planting at about 1-2%. 2% was last year. 1% average. So we're just getting things started, but that's about what they're looking for this afternoon. We'll see if there's any surprises. And that is pretty much how we're seeing it right now. Obviously, strong moves. Volatility is still high, although it's amped up, and there's no doubt about it. At least some of this volatility is becoming a little more familiar. So I think that some of the traders are out there are starting to dabble back in. Totally respective of what could happen in these markets. So we'll take it. We'll look for that report this afternoon and trade accordingly.
We're continuing to watch strength in the livestock sectors. What are you watching this week?
Yeah, there has been some strength in the livestock sector, both looking at beef and hogs. Well, in particular with the live cattle and the lean hog futures contract. The feeder cattle has tried to have a little bit of a bounce, but with the grains resuming their uptrend today, struggling some, so we'll have to watch that one. But in terms of the hogs, yes, decent move of late, fell back pretty strong up until about a week and a half ago, and we've been able to pretty much recover a lot of the break that happened. So June lean hogs today making a new swing high, not contract high, but a new swing high over the last couple weeks of roughly around 122.5, and that kind of lends to support in terms of other proteins on a relative pricing value. So that helps our cattle, at least one of the things that should help the cattle market. And cattle also kind of fell off when the hogs did, and also held when the hogs did, and also rallied like the hogs did, and had a little bit of a pullback today, but nothing crazy, I should say. I think it's kind of feeling like it's in a bit of a range. If you look at just the cash side of the equation for cattle, the 5-day, 5-area early indication was that it was up around to about 140.5 from about 138.5, so gained a couple bucks on the week in that particular, you know, category. As for cash in the north, sold anywhere from about $2 to $3 higher than the previous week, and for live cattle traded in the south, basically around a buck higher. So cash, you know, firm, and that's a good sign for the market. We'll watch a couple of the other inputs, that being the basis of late. The discount to futures to cash has been abnormal, so I would say that there's a shot that hopefully we could see a decent rally if cash stabilizes like it looks like it is in the futures market. And also in terms of export sales, bit of a something for everything in export sales of late, by meaning that I see that as of the week ending April 7, export sales came in at about 17,300-ish metric tons, up from just shy of 14 the previous week, but below the 4-week average of 21. So week on week good, based on the four week average, a little bit weak. Cumulative sales so far for 2022 have reached about 501,000 metric tons, up from 475 last year. So pick your poison on which one you want there. Pick your level. It could be bullish or bearish depending on what time frame you're looking at. But I think net, I think the bulk of that looks pretty good for the moment. Slaughter was up last week, 498,000 head, up from 495 the previous week and 459 a year ago. So we're moving product along pretty good. And I think at the moment the market looks decent in terms of the live cattle for just kind of holding a range, pretty wide range, shall we say, from 131 to 139. Feeder cattle are going to be more impacted by what's going on in the grains, and the mode of the grains these days is rather bullish. So we'll just have to keep a watch on that one. If it could start holding up and not necessarily make new contract lows in the face of new moves to the upside for these grains, I think that'll look good, but it's a wait and see at the moment.
Okay, let's talk contact info. How do we talk one-on-one?
Sure, for contact information, you can pick up the phone, give me a call, numbers 312-987-2053, or come visit us online at www.myfuturesadvisor.com, or just shoot me an email, bmauer@manducatrading.com.
That's Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading Chicago, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Second best isn't good enough when it comes to your tractor's performance. You know what? We know it. That's why we run Fendt tractors. One test drive can show you the difference between a great tractor and a truly exceptional machine. Ready to set up a demo? Get behind the wheel of a Fendt to experience it for yourself and see why the best run operations run Fendt. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading in Chicago.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report. Find Bob Maurer online at myfuturesadvisor.com, myfuturesadvisor.com.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report.
While slight improvement is reported in USDA's latest topsoil moisture outlook,
surplus topsoil moisture now standing at 15%. That is up 2 percentage points from the previous week. And at the same time, topsoil moisture rated very short to short has dropped to 35%. That is down from 37%.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says there is still a sharp divide between the wet conditions of the east and dry conditions of the west.
One of the wettest spots is the eastern corn belt. We see topsoil moisture rated surplus ranging from 40 to 60% in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan.
A main reason behind delayed crop plantings in the region.
If you look at the western half of the country, we see topsoil moisture rated at least 30%, very short to short, in all but two states, Washington State and California.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.